This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Steve Georgie. Steve is with Allendale in McHenry, Illinois, and will join us in just a moment. First off, Tom Hague is with National Corn Growers Association with thoughts on Mexico's proposed ban.
Secretary Vilsack is in agreement that our GMO product, it's a safe product that we have. What they want to do is take all away our corn of GMO, of yellow corn and white corn, and have it as a non-GMO. Well, first of all, that means that we got to do different tillage practices. We got insects that we have to more worry about. It's going to cost more that farmer and all that. And then there's also the agreement that if you grow so much, we got to segregate that on our farms. So make sure we don't commingle that. How far do we have to travel with that? We're to encourage Mexico and have more talks with them about how important GMO product is in America and how they have a safe product there.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Steve Georgie. Steve is president of Allendale, headquartered in McHenry, Illinois. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, for those who don't know who Allendale is, or maybe they've heard of Allendale, but again, not real sure about that. Do you got an elevator speech to help us?
Sure do. You know, what we've done, we've been around for 40 years now. This is our 40th year, and, you know, really our goal and what we try to do is help producers out there really put together sound marketing plans for what they're looking at in the future. And so it's our research and everything that we put out to try to kind of really give some best, I'm going to call it guesses, but, you know, some best estimates moving forward as we go through some very transitional times. And so, we are here. We're a commodity brokerage firm, but with research as well, and certainly try to do our best out there for producers to make the best decisions we can.
So I'm going to throw out a couple of things here and see if you can tie all these together. Windsor, Colorado, Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Let's see, Griswold, Iowa, Erickson, Nebraska, St. Petersburg, Florida, Bird Island, Minnesota. What do all those have in common?
These are all of our offices. We've got 19 different offices around the U.S. And certainly, you know, try to have some boots on the ground out there to really make some better decisions. A lot of times you get stuck, you hear what's going on around Chicago, but that's not the heart of the country. Farmers are the heart of the country and what's out there. No one knows it best than producers that are actually in the field. And so by having offices around the U.S. certainly gives us some depth in order to really provide the best service and the best knowledge of what's going on in order to make those decisions. So we really dive into that and very proud of our branch offices. And our locations that we currently have.
Let's start now our digging deeper into the markets. And you and I had the opportunity to talk back in I believe, November. And some things have changed since then. But when you kind of look at where we've come since, I guess, harvest time, where we are today, how would you describe that?
Well, you know, when you really dive into it, though, Tony, it's things that are changing, right? It's ever-changing. With us having more of a global atmosphere and really kind of taking different turns here and there, you know, we started the last year's marketing season, I'm going to call it underwater, but, you know, with very slim profitability, and then we saw markets go crazy. And so maybe it was the help of what really happened with Russia and Ukraine kind of started the bullishness. But then corn and beans really kind of held their gains where wheat did not. And, you know, helping the producer out there and looking at things right now, it's beneficial. But what are we doing moving forward? And that's where, you know, I think we've got to be very, very careful, right? It's easy to talk about what just happened or what the past may have brought for us and why we're sitting near this. You look at March corn near 680, new crop corn just under $6. We got to these areas, but the biggest thing is what do we do with it, right? And so you look at that path, what got us here, and I think a lot of that was the yield that had dropped. We did not get trendline yields last year, and we saw the market react to it. The demand has been good, specifically for beans. For corn, we're struggling right now, but the market hasn't realized it yet. So we know basis issues around the country with some of the growing problems that we've had. the drier biased in certain areas, but overall still looking at pretty good pile of corn out there. It's just the pile's in the wrong spot. So we're still trying to find ways in order to transition and get it to where it needs to be. But, you know, it's been a wild ride, but continue to look for things to do that here as we go through the next several months.
Steve, do we also have to keep an eye on what's happening south of the equator now, talking about Brazil and Argentina in particular?
Yeah, you know, it's January, February, right? And so January and February, it's like our July, August here, but for Argentina and Brazil, right? So it's the heart of their growing season right now. And so what kind of gave a lot of spark, you look what happened in beans today, jumping 25 cents on the idea that Argentina, the 6 to 10 day forecast is a little bit drier and certainly dry in certain areas. But you really look at it, and yes, we are focusing on South America. Brazil has had adequate rainfall. You know, you've got some guys, and I don't want to use the B word, but some people throwing out that bumper crop idea for Brazil. But we still need to get there. There's still a lot of growing season still to go there for Brazil. Argentina, though, this drier weather and coming at the wrong time could be hurting these yields more than we think. And that's why the market is really reacting. Bean meal finding a ton of strength, but soybeans here certainly following suit. So we do need to watch that from a South America perspective on what that's really what's going on. But for corn, it might be a little bit too late, the drier weather coming in. We do feel that the estimates right now that USDA is sitting with for corn might be a little bit too high and that there needs to be a reduction. But the only way to really measure that, though, we could sit and talk about it. We need to see it in the way of demand. Corn demand is certainly lacking. If they're not going to have the corn in South America, well, then how can we judge that? That needs to now shift to the U.S. We need to see it in sales, and we're just not there yet. For soybeans, we are ahead of pace as far as export sales. So that's good. You can make that argument, and that's why you've got beans doing what they're doing. But corn's kind of stale, kind of stalling out at these levels. That's because of the demand side. We can look at Argentina. We could say it's dry. We know they've got issues, but it needs to come in the way of sales. That's what's going to spark the market or maybe push funds back into this market again. But right now, that's where our focus needs to be is on sales, and we're just not getting it yet.
I'm glad you brought the sell side of that in, because though we have domestic buyers, we still rely heavily on trade. So what are you watching on that front?
You know, when you say the domestic buyers, yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, what we have is, and we've seen our basis levels that have been very, very strong this year, right? Cattle feeders are certainly, I mean, they're paying up for corn. It is expensive at these levels. We know that. But on the global market, we are still overpriced. As much as we want to say, hey, we're going to make these sales or have more of a global export presence, we're overpriced. We're not going to see that for corn, not at these levels. So that's not been our primary focus. But when we're looking below a 1.3 billion carryout right now for corn, we don't really want that either. Because if we got that number any tighter as far as carryout, well, that means prices are probably going to go higher as well. So the demand for corn internally has outweighed or outpaced any demand that we've had from the external side. So it is something that needs to be watched for corn. Now for soybeans, we have been appropriately priced with Brazil. We're seeing some token business. China continues to buy, or even unknown, which mostly is China. But the big thing is that we have seen the demand side for soybeans. Carryout numbers sitting just above 200 million. If we do get too cheap and we see exports pick up even more, now what? Do we drop below 200 million? It seems like we're pretty happy right here in this area too, but exports for beans have been good. But that's the other side of it. If Brazil starts to get too cheap and we start losing export sales, that may change the picture. But we're not there yet. Brazil is having a good crop. They're getting plenty of rain, but we need to watch demand. And that's where for beans, it might be a little bit more exciting. For corn, USDA's got a problem on their hands, and they're going to need to make some adjustments here as far as sales and the export picture, just because the fact we're not selling anything. And at these price levels, we probably aren't.
Is this a good time to segue over to an opportunity to really dig deep into this through something called the Ag Leader Conference Series?
Yes. You know, we just had this conference. We just had a conference actually just this past week. And we're calling it the Ag Leader Conference Series because a lot of what you see out there is you'll have conferences this time of year where people start putting out projections. And they'll put out projections, and here it is a six-month or even a one-year projection. But the environment that we're in right now, Tony, is that it's changing. What you see right now changes, and it's going to change over the next several months. So this conference series that we're doing is that we're putting on a conference every other month. So we're talking about what is important right now, what should producers pay attention to right now versus trying to project that out 6 months, because I don't know what that's going to look like. But if you look at it currently, having these projections, what do we look at as we go into this acreage report at the end of March? So our conference series is going to get kicked off again here in March. We're going to have another set of a deeper dive into the grain markets as well as livestock. So it's been great. We had a great turnout the first round. You still can get on our website and still view it. But the thing is that we are going to do this every other month in order to keep the producer in tune with the markets as we go through this year instead of trying to give a projection that changes at a very rapid clip.
Well, you mentioned the website. I guess that's a pretty good place to go. Quite a few tools there. What will we find on the website?
You bet. You know, a lot of stuff. Rich Nelson, he does heads up a lot of our research. We have commentary, daily commentary that gets put out on the website, as well as a lot of videos that we do on more of a weekly basis. We call it a snapshot. You get that right on the web as well. So a lot of information, a lot of daily information put out on our website, allendale-inc.com. You can see that and just be kept up with. Not only is it just corn, beans, and wheat, you get livestock information. You get trade ideas. You get what do you do with the information on there, too. So very good source of information on our website that can take you and kind of lead you through the week ahead just because, as I mentioned, things change. Things change fast. And so we try to do our best to keep you informed as these markets change as well.
Steve Georgie is president of Allendale. Again, online at allendale-inc.com. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Steve Georgie with Allendale.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Did you know that the world-famous Café du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report. You can follow Allendale online at allendale-inc.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open. With jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, KRIRM.com. It's the Agribusiness Report.
For milk and most dairy products,
prices have started to decline and quicker than we had expected.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jackanowski says it's a combination of continued increases in milk and dairy product production, plus
weak demand and pretty strong international competition.
So for all of 2023 compared to 22, USDA is projecting U.S. milk output will grow by just under 2.5 billion pounds, or less than 1%. The average all milk price, though, will go the opposite way and drop by almost $4 a hundredweight, or about 15%.
So with that reduction in milk price and really no corresponding reduction in the price of feed, you know, if anything, maybe some upward pressure that potentially will squeeze those margins to the point where the dairy program could start to pay out.
The last payout was back in September. So if you signed up for the USDA's dairy margin coverage, you may be very happy you did. Gary Crawford, Washington.